we said, Mary's going to be speaking on step 12, which is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So Mary, you have our attention.
Thanks, Greg. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Mary.
Nice to see you all. Hi, Zoomers. I love the four-leggers, too, that are going to listen to step 12 tonight. Thank you. Oh, it's good to be here with you. I am an alcoholic. My name is Mary. And my sobriety date is January 2nd of 1997. My home group is the Lovely Ladies, 7:30 Friday night at 10th and Powell. Please have a piece of cake with me tonight. Yeah. One of my beloved sponsees brought it to me as a gift, so please enjoy that. I don't want to take it home. I want you to help me eat it. Sorry, Zoomers. All right, so step 12. This is a very, very busy step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Dr. Bob reminds us our 12 steps, when simmered down to the last, resolve themselves into the words love and service. Isn't that lovely? Ah. The 12 and 12 helps to initiate us to this step. As it reads, the joy of living is the theme of AA's 12th step, and action is its key word. When the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it is really talking about the kind of love that has no price tag on it. Service. It is a spiritual virtue that is related to this step. But before we explore that element, let's fully understand what it's all about, having a spiritual awakening. And for that, we need to begin with a bit of a history lesson. This whole idea of a spiritual experience is said to have begun with Dr. Carl Jung, who suggested to one of his patients, Roland Hazard, that the only solution to his hopeless alcoholic condition was a spiritual or religious experience. Roland Hazard then sought guidance from the non-denominational Oxford group for some spiritual teachings, which he then passed on to Ebbie Thatcher, who was an old drinking buddy of Bill Wilson. The Oxford group teachings emphasized the spiritual principle of surrendering, inventory, admission of faults, making amends, and asking God for guidance. We know that these became the basis of our 12 steps. While in Towns Hospital in New York, Bill Wilson came to the understanding that his alcoholism was an illness of the mind and the body. In the doctor's opinion, at the beginning of the big book, Dr. Silkworth suggests that the only hope for a chronic alcoholic is to experience an entire psychic change. I find it very interesting to learn about the writings of Appendix 2 on spiritual experience in the back of the big book, which, remember, happened after the publication of the first printing of the big book in 39. In the first printing, the 12th step read, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, which we know is contrary to what we now know as having a spiritual awakening. We read in Appendix 2, the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. This spiritual awakening is the psychic change that Dr. Silkworth referred to as an absolute necessity and the only hope for any lasting alcoholic recovery. Also in the appendix, we learn how easy it is to have that promised spiritual awakening. Quote, most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. That's all there is to it. That's it. If you've made conscious contact with the God of your understanding and you have started to listen to the guidance that you hear, you have, in fact, had a psychic change. We read in the 12 and 12, when a man or woman has a spiritual awakening in the very real sense, he has been transformed. He finds himself in possession of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love, of which he had thought himself quite incapable. Step 12 focuses on our continuing spiritual awakening as a result of centering our lives around all of these steps. Many who practice the 12 steps can often relate that one day they realized that it had been days or even weeks since they thought about having a drink. That's part of the miracle of step 12. We're learning about ourselves, accepting and taking steps to resolve who we used to be, because now we're understanding more fully this process of what we have become. This leads us to gratitude, humility, a sense of meaning in our lives, and hope, which is how we experience a spiritual awakening. We begin to appreciate the purpose and the meaning of life, an area of thought that while we were drinking, we could never have been brave enough to explore. Bill W. questions, is sobriety all that we're to expect of a spiritual awakening? No, he answers his rhetorical question. Sobriety is only a bare beginning. It is only the first gift of the first awakening. If more gifts are to be received, our awakening has to go on. As it does go on, we find that bit by bit, we can discard the old life, the one that did not work, for a new life that can and does work under any conditions whatever. So, what do we have to do in order to maintain the spiritual transformation? In Bill's story, he comments, if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. It's no surprise that the spiritual virtue or principle of the 12th step is service. Being of service in AA means recognizing that we have to keep that too have to keep our hard-won sobriety, but we gotta give it away. Sobriety truly is the gift that keeps on giving because we get to pass it on. And we have so many wonderful opportunities to do that. It's interesting to note that the word sponsor does not appear anywhere in the first 164 pages. The term spiritual advisor is used in step 3 and suitable person for step 5, but there is no mention of the word sponsor as we know and use it today. Yet the word sponsor is generously sprinkled throughout the 12 and 12 that was published 14 years later in 1953. In the big book, there are 123 references to one alcoholic working with another. And as we know that this is a we program, there's never an expectation that a new person would or should be working these steps by themselves. The entirety of chapter 7 in the Big Book is devoted to carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to others. And I'd say that that's quite a testament to its importance, an entire chapter. In the first paragraph on page 89 of the Big Book, the authors tell us how to expand our new consciousness by offering service. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. In reality, when we work with others, our lives change for the better. Service means contributing to the welfare of others through our own unselfish behavior. Continuing from the Big Book, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot in our lives. So, what do we actually carry on to other people? Well, there's a whole lot. We pass on what we believe in step 2, what we decided in step 3, and how we acted in steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Also, we get those promises in step 9, with their results in step 10, and finally, with the effect of step 11 in our want and our need for prayer and meditation. In steps 1 through 11, we received awesome information about the workings of this way of life and how we adapt ourselves to it. And in step 12, we're told to give that awesomeness away. So, 11 steps give to us, and in one, we give it away. In those first 11 steps, I received an amazing change in my life, one that left me with an absolute spiritual experience, a relationship with the God of my understanding, who I believe in the depth of my soul, who I trust, and who loves me the very best. In reality, this step where I get to give it all away is where I've grown the most. And truthfully, this is why I keep working the steps repeatedly, so that I keep finding out more and more about myself and am better able to help others. The Big Book details specific, valuable instructions on how to carry our message of recovery to others. Those suggestions include, when working with a new person, find out all you can about them. Tell them just enough about your drinking past that it encourages them to speak of their own. We're advised to plant the seed of this program and to move on if the new person is showing hesitancy in working the program, as they may need more time to scout around before becoming willing to surrender. And for those who have many excuses about job or other obligations as to why they can't get sober, the advice from the Big Book is, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. And that is the lesson that we want to pass on to each person we work with. Trust God and clean house. That's the true essence of the prior 11 steps. Very simply put, the founders of this program discovered for themselves in those early days that the practicing of step 12 is simply how it works. Bill knew instinctively as he stood looking into the bar at the Mayflower Hotel that he needed to go find another drunk to talk to, or he was going to drink. This principle of working with others who are still suffering is what we know kept Bill and Bob sober their entire lives. Bill W. teaches us, "In the wake of my spiritual experience, there came a vision of a society of alcoholics, each identifying with and transmitting his experience to the next, chain style. If each sufferer were to carry the news of the scientific hopelessness of alcoholism to each new prospect, he might be able to lay every newcomer wide open to a transforming spiritual experience." This concept proved to be the foundation of such success as Alcoholics Anonymous has since achieved. Step 12 calls for us to put the spiritual growth we've worked so hard for to work, not only within these rooms, but into all aspects of our lives. Doing this 12-step work makes the program one of attraction and not promotion. In the spirit of service, when your true spiritual self radiates through your life, people in the rooms will naturally want to know more about your journey and how you were once so like them, but now you lead a different life in that you're a very changed person. Being of service means being present, alive, right here and now. And it's truly a gift that I endeavor to give myself and all the people that I interact with on a daily basis. Being of service to others can remind us of our early days of recovery, the pain and the loneliness that we felt when we first came in. It may keep us accountable and prevent us from that evil of complacency. We find purpose, and it helps us to know better and share with our fellows in this room. And it also proves to ourselves that we can now be trusted in fulfilling service positions and all over in our life. So you've worked the steps, and you're still struggling with finding your happy place. Ask yourself, are you serving others? We are built to serve. It's in our nature to want to help others, and most of us even feel off kilter when we're not being of service. Interesting fact, there is a science to the idea of giving. Serving others affects the same parts of our brain as food and sex, which is probably why it works so well and so satisfyingly. We are social beings, and being of service to each other is just a fundamental human need. It allows us the opportunity to be nicer to others, and therefore how to learn how to be more forgiving to ourselves. There are so many opportunities to help people in these rooms. Going to and setting up for meetings, greeting and sharing, answering the phone of someone that you gave your number to, being secretary or treasurer for your home group, driving someone to and from a meeting, the list, it goes on and on. My higher power had a plan that my service work would benefit women in all areas of the country and even the world. When I came in for the last time in 97, there was a group of women who had plans to attend what was then known as the International AA Women's Conference. I politely asked, oh, when was it? And two of our long-timers, Mary Lou and Liz, said, it's in 6 weeks in Chicago and you're going. Get your plane ticket. Wow. Yeah. So I went. And I went and spent the most incredible 3 days of my life with thousands of amazing women from all over the country. I was in happy overwhelm, crying for the last day and a half because I felt like I had found myself with this group of all strangers, but we knew each other. That was the beginning of what will be my 17th conference that I've attended since 1997. And this year, we're in Dallas, Texas. I'm in my second term since 2007 on the Advisory Council, which is the guiding force for this particular conference that is held in a different host city each year. This commitment and service has big time changed my life. For one, I've traveled the country from Alaska to Florida and many cities in between. And I've met and worked with incredibly capable women who are strong and vibrant in their recovery. I now serve as secretary of the Advisory Council, and next year will serve my third and final year on council in Portland, Maine. Since COVID, our conference has been hybrid, in person and on Zoom. So ladies, I have a little information here. See me after the meeting to plan on signing up to enjoy the International Women's Conference this year in February, virtually. 2 years ago, when the conference was supposed to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, and as we went totally virtual because of COVID, we were able to reach over 20,000 women from all over the world in places I didn't even know existed. Another service position that I truly enjoyed was involvement with the AA Women's Retreat, held in Findlay Lake, New York, yearly. I held virtually every position on that committee over the many years that I was a part of it, and it allowed me to work and to get to know much better all these women, these local women that were involved. Even when life presents challenges, upsets, irritations, I try to choose positive thoughts. I try to smile outwardly, and being joy-filled helps me to move past that pain that may be bothering me at the time. Truly, my life is better and richer than it's ever been because I choose balance, consistency, and structure. I know if I push too hard in any one particular part of my life, things begin to get a little off kilter. And in doing service, we need to be very mindful that we can't give away anything that is in short supply for ourselves. And that may be time and attention. There are other ways to be of service. But staying close to your sponsor and to these meetings can help maintain that balance. So the third part, practicing these principles in all my affairs, means for me practicing prayer and meditation every morning, being accountable for my actions as I go through the day. I keep myself in check by asking, how important is this particular decision that I'm about to make? I endeavor to listen to my feelings. Am I feeling anxious or overwhelmed? I look at what might be causing that, ask how I can change it, and what different actions can I take. These are rapid thoughts that come in. Then, reflecting at the end of the day, what things worked? Where did I fall short? And what can I improve? And I endeavor to make things right immediately when necessary, all the way through my day. It's really just taking a step at a time. Because we've learned this process as we've walked through these 12 steps. That's all I can be responsible to do in a 24-hour period. By helping others, we help ourselves. Even though practicing step 12 shouldn't include expectation of a reward, I believe the practice of sponsorship is the most rewarding form of carrying the message. It's a service that is freely given. Helping others to stay sober and practice the 12 steps in their daily lives strengthens me in my own recovery. It helps to continue to develop my character and my practice of the program and to evolve my emotional sobriety and my spiritual awareness. The Big Book on page 102 has even provided us with a new job description. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. We need to remember that the recovery I'm sharing with another comes through the message, through us translating the steps as outlined in the Big Book. Our job is to simply tell people the truth. When we talk to a new person, we talk about what we've known through our lives, what it was like before, and our experience of working and living these steps. The Big Book relates about a newcomer. Insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. But you may talk to him about hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. We can also relate to that newcomer that the thing that seemed the absolute worst in our lives, that of becoming an alcoholic that we hated ourselves for, is to become the shining jewel in our life. The Big Book tells us when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world. It's a blessing to finally find out what our problem is and was, and to be in touch with ourselves, possibly for the first time ever, as was my experience. Because my addiction began at such a young age, I had no understanding of what a normal person would feel or act like. My journey into sobriety and through these steps has created in me something that never existed before. Something that is compassionate and sensitive, tender and loving. All those feelings have given me a life that I'm living well from and loving from. All because I admitted that I was a drunk and that I needed help. We know that Dr. Bob was well known for his commitment to working with others. From 1939 until his death in 1950, he treated alcoholics at St. Thomas Hospital in Akron. During those 11 years, he took approximately 5,000 people through the steps. He was so successful that Bill W. called him the Prince of the 12 Steppers. This program takes work and discipline. And once you have committed to doing your work, it will become such a part of your life that when you don't do it, you may suffer some uncomfortable consequences. And always remember, no one practices these principles or does the steps perfectly. When a person goes through this program, it is a natural progression that they will take on the responsibility to pass this message to other people who still suffer. The 12 and 12 instructs us well. Service gladly rendered, obligations squarely met, troubles well accepted or solved with God's help. The knowledge that at home and in the world outside, we are partners in a common effort the well-understood fact that in God's sight, all human beings are important. The proof that love freely given surely brings a full return. True ambition is the deep desire to live usefully and walk humbly under the grace of God. We are problem people who have found a way up and out and who wish to share our knowledge of that way with all who can use it. For it is only by accepting and solving our problems that we can begin to get right with ourselves and with the world about us and with Him who presides over us all. Understanding is the key to right principles and attitudes, and right action is the key to good living. On page 164 of the Big Book, we're impressed again with the absolute importance and necessity of working with others. Our book is only meant to be suggestive. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. From Dr. Bob's last message, presented at the first International Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous, July 1950, in Cleveland, Ohio. He offers a vital message on our responsibility of service in this program. And one more thing, none of us would be here today if somebody hadn't taken time to explain things to us, to give us a little pat on the back, to take us to a meeting or two, to have done numerous little kind and thoughtful acts on our behalf. So let us never get the degree of smug complacency so that we're not willing to extend or attempt to that help which has been so beneficial to us, to our less fortunate brothers. Thank you very much for the privilege of being listened to these last 9 weeks.
Thank you, Mary. She's sneaking away. Now we have time for some questions. So if you're here in the audience, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll bring you the microphone. Or if you're on Zoom, go ahead and speak up whenever you have the opportunity. So who would like to get us started?
Hi, Mary. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you for a most heartfelt and just spectacular review of the 12-step. And it's interesting that sponsorship is not mentioned in the Big Book. I appreciate you bringing that up. And it's something that kind of evolved, apparently, between when the book was written and the 12 and 12, I'm just assuming. So I wanted to ask you, as a sponsor, working with somebody who says they are sober and they've done the steps already, but they don't, I can't get this particular person to go to meetings, they don't have time, they're working, they can't get on Zoom. I just don't know when is enough. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what more to do. Maybe just go pick the person up and take them, because I haven't done that. So, when I hear this, I just don't know, I'm kind of in a quandary. So, thanks.
Thanks, Bridget. Bridget wants to know how to encourage people who are reluctant, even though they've done the steps and they're still sober, how to get them to be more involved. We've had this chat before. And, you know, that's maybe as a last resort, that you might lay out the series of meetings that you do in a week and say, I would really love to come and get you. What meeting might work for you? I've sponsored a lot of women. I don't know what their status is, whether they're around, whether they're still sober. Some of them I occasionally see. That's a challenge because, you know, what I talked about was, you know, we can only have the rope in a relationship. We can't seem to make them do anything by pushing that rope. But I know for myself, when I'm not hearing from a lady, I wiggle the rope and I send texts and I call. And I know that's what you've already done. And, you know, we don't want to give up on anybody, especially when we see them very infrequently, that we know that they're still around. But, you know, being able to even say straight out, you know, love to share this opportunity with you. That's all we can do. Yeah. You're welcome, darling.
Who else has a question?
Hi, everyone. Gretchen, alcoholic.
Hello.
Great job, Mary. And I'm going to kind of go to the opposite side of that. So you talked about balance. And one of the things that I've experienced in Alcoholics Anonymous, in particular, with respect to the number of men versus the number of women, it seems there's far fewer women in recovery than there are men. And in particular, women that keep coming back who have time, that continue to, you know, to carry the message and work the 12th step. I find for myself that becomes very challenging. Because, you know, there's women that approach me, and I'm happy to help anyone to the best of my ability, but I have to find that balance in it as well. And, you know, sometimes I struggle with that I feel like I'm not doing enough. You know, should I be doing more? But realistically, I mean, if I'm working a full-time job and then I'm on the phone for a half hour with each of my girls, that's 3 hours there at night. That's like my day. You know, so how do you handle finding that balance, even though we want to have that ability to be of service? You know, knowing that women don't have as many people to turn to as others might.
Thanks, Gretchen. Gretchen's question has to do with, you know, there's not as many women around, and there seems to be a lot of women that are continually coming into the program, and how do we mentor to them? And you know, that's one of our assets are the girls that we have that we've worked with. And for me, I know what my level is in taking on new people. I know that, you know, to do it honestly, I would only be able to take at the most two at a time, two new people. That doesn't include all the other ones that I hear from when there's things going on in their lives. And, you know, I've got a great group of women that I hear from almost every week. And if I don't hear from them, then I'm seeing them. But, you know, they know that if they give me a call and they leave a message, I'm going to get back to them. But as far as those newcomers, that's really important that we're always reaching out. And, you know, I'm of the mind that I can say, you know, I can't take you on right now, but I do have a couple of girls. Come to this meeting, meet these couple of girls. They could maybe talk with you, or if they're not able to pick you up, someone else will. You know, and I think it's also important that we let these newcomers know. You need to have your needs known. To sit in a meeting and not say, yes, I need a sponsor. You know, that's something that we've kind of redone in it, Lovely Ladies, is, you know, we're asking who needs a sponsor and who is willing to sponsor, and trying to match them up. But that it's a challenge. And you also talked about some of our longer timers who don't come to meetings anymore. And that is our loss. That is tragic, because we need that experience, strength, and hope in the rooms. And I know, I've talked to some of them, and they can't drive at night, or they only go to daytime meetings anymore, or they just don't feel like they have anything left to give, or, you know, and you know what, there's encouragement there for those long-timers, for us to always be reaching out and to be able to let them know that they have experience, untold amount of experience that is so necessary, and finding ways to hook girls into them. So, hope that answers, Gretchen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who else has a question?
Hello, I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ryan.
Thanks, Mary. Over these last 9 weeks or so, have you learned anything about yourself or anything about the program that you thought was, you know, lacking a little bit?
Oh, have I learned anything by doing this, is the question that came from the floor. Lots. I've learned far more that about myself than I actually learned. I love going into the history, just love it, about going into the history of where we came from, and how people were so affected, and how rudimentary, you know, this program was as it began. So I can always keep learning from the history. I learned, you know, after I said yes to Kevin, I was like, what did I do? And yet, I have walked through the fear, and I have, you know, I've done my work, and I feel satisfied with that. And so I have learned, you know, another bit of myself that is able to step up and be of service. So I was very grateful for this opportunity. Kevin, I pray for you now. Thanks.
Hi, Carly, alcoholic.
Hi, Carly.
I just have a question about service, since it's so pivotal. As somebody new that only has like 9 or 10 months, what are ways that you got involved? Because I'm noticing, like, you say you'll do things, and then, you know, some of the old timers want you to help out, but they still kind of want to do it their way. You know, I don't want to offend anyone, but you know what I mean. Like, when fresh blood comes in, you say you want them to help, but when they help, not so much. You know, any suggestions or what you did when you were new?
Yes.
Because I want to be of service and do more things, but you really...
Yes. Don't... please, Carly, never let anybody thwart you from wanting to be involved. Old-timers, longer, or long-timers, as I should call them, sometimes have some control issues. I've been there myself. And you just, they have a lot to teach. And, you know, we get to learn patience and tolerance here. And that is a great way. And, you know, even after the fact, to be able to say, you know, these were things that I would have liked to have helped with, but, you know, talking to that long timer, they got a program. They just might not have been working it as vigorously as they could have at that particular point. But going to them and having a heart-to-heart, you know, they're people that are doing what they've been called to do. And so you can ask, how can I continue to help? I felt thwarted here. You know, it was a little hard to work past this particular thing. How can we work together? It's about cooperation. And if that old timer or long timer is involved, it's because they need to be involved. and they are receiving something. You know, we all deal with our egos constantly. And what is the opposite of ego is humility. And so, humbly, you can talk sober woman to sober woman and see if you could break through a little bit. And just continue, never be stopped by that want to help, because that's what builds us. That's what keeps us going. And there's so many opportunities, so continue to give it away.
Is there anybody on Zoom that hasn't had a chance to speak up yet?
Zoomers, anything from you guys?
Hi, this is Marcia. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Marcia.
And I just wanted to say, Mary, what a heck of a job you did. It was so wonderful. I've learned so much throughout your 12-stepping and in this program. I can't wait to get the CDs of it. Walk the walk and you talk the talk, you know? There was something important that I wanted to say and I forgot. I have the dogs and Rosie sitting over here eating, listening.
Hi, Rosie.
We're having a party. Yeah, a dog, a baby, and yeah, it's fun. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Marcia.
I think that does it. Thank you, Mary.